The term legend gets tossed around a lot in reference to drag entertainers, but it certainly fits the bill for the legendary Kelly Lauren. For over 40 years, Kelly's been a fixture in the drag scene, and she's a winner, baby! Kelly's been crowned Miss Gay Houston, Miss Texas US of A, and the one crown to rule them all, Miss Continental.
Kelly surprises and delights audiences with her vampish ways and dirty, dirty blonde onstage antics that come across as a delicious fun fusion. If Stevie Nicks was a Las Vegas showgirl. Today, the legendary Kelly Lauren joins us in the home studio to take a look at her real life as a trans woman working in showbiz in a drag race world.
Listen as we chat with Kelly about how a good man is hard to find, canceling shame and cancel culture, and what it's going to take to get her back on stage after a year of not being in the spotlight. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. A legend is somebody who is spoken about often by others in great exaggeration or in misunderstanding because they've contributed a lot to the history of something to the point that they've shaped the outcome of that thing. And so when people speak of you as a legend, they're really talking about you as an influencer across time.
Well, don't you agree? Are we on yet?
We are on.
Oh, yeah, don't you feel like a lot of people get called legends that aren't?
Yeah.
Well, and if you call your, like calling somebody pretty, right, when they aren't, or nice when they're not.
Well, that, I mean, that's kind of just being fake, isn't it?
Well, sometimes you have to, you know, you got to grease that wheel.
Lubricate it.
Lubricate it.
Yes.
You know?
Spit and squint. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Another thing, too, is like the word diva. That's not a compliment.
Well, it comes from opera. It comes from a woman of great accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. That's, look up the word.
And she's difficult because
she's accomplished. Temperamental, throws temper tantrums. But pop culture has turned that into a compliment, and it's not a flattering word.
Yeah,
like when people say you're a diva, I'm like, God, I hope not.
Well, Aretha Franklin would probably take issue with that, but other entertainers like Mariah Carey
will
be like,
dig her up and
damn right. All right, folks, our guest today is a legend, a diva, a drag entertainer, a trans pioneer here in Chicago and nationally. Kelly Lauren, for over 40 years, has been entertaining audiences as a showgirl, as a goddess on the stage, and she's won Miss Continental 1988, Miss Texas US of A, and Miss Gay Houston. It is a pleasure to have you here on Feast of Fun, Kelly.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, and hello to all the listeners.
Hello, hello. Fellas.
Well, hello.
On behalf of the listeners, hello back.
Yeah, and you know, welcome. In a lot of ways, like Dolly Madison, you are kind of like this beloved entertainer that everybody is a little bit in love with. Every time they see you, they're just like wanting your attention, your affection, your praise. And you're not necessarily able to give it to them because you can only give attention to one person at a time.
Oh, there's enough of me to go around. But what about the ones We've that seen. I see sneaking out the back door, ducking around corners?
What do you mean?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
now we're talking about calling somebody a legend, you know, and part of this is like, it is part of drag culture. It's part of LGBT culture is that they tend to exaggerate, you know, what a legend is. Somebody is of great influence over the course of time who's shaped the outcome of things. And you, in a lot of ways, have contributed much to the pageant scene, to the drag scene of Chicago. And to the point that you've shaped its outcome. And, you know, and certainly, like, you're somebody who everybody knows. All the Rue girls know who you are. All the pageant girls know who you are. Anybody who's ever been to a drag bar knows the name Kelly
All the
Lauren.
People who have ever been on Grindr know who Kelly Lauren is.
Yeah, but they know me by the handle Chick Dick. Was that my phone going off?
But you don't come out it's your vibrator. As Kelly?
Yeah, what?
Do what?
You don't come out as Kelly on Grindr?
Eventually.
Okay. Eventually.
First, they have to meet Chucky.
Who's Chucky?
It's the name for my
Chucky Cheese.
Evil doll.
Yeah, it's the name. Yes, it's and Chucky wants to play.
Would you like play a game?
I've had people come up to me because it's like when I was on Scruff, I would unlock. If you even looked at my profile, I'd unlock. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm kind of an exhibitionist, and so. And then one time I said that my goal was what I was looking for was trying to set Chucky free or something like that. So then enough people had seen pictures of parts of me that you wouldn't see if I was just running down the street, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And they would look at me and say, how are you? And then they'd look down and say, how's Chucky? So maybe Chucky's legendary. I don't know if I am.
Where did you originally grow up? In Texas? You're a Texas girl?
Houston, Texas. Born and raised.
I'm a little farm girl from Del Rio myself.
Oh, howdy, partner.
That's just a line from Showgirls. I'm from Puerto Rico. But.
Oh, I love Versace.
You do you? It's called Versace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thrust it.
Yes.
So, Kelly, you grew up in Houston, Texas. Your first performance was at the age of 16. You got a fake ID. How did you get into the bars?
The club manager was, his name was Silver Dollar Bill.
Ooh.
You know, if somebody's got like an alias like that, you know that there's trouble. But he was probably a pedophile.
Oh,
shoot.
I mean, I was under.
He fancied you.
Oh.
Is that what you're saying?
I remember it all very well, looking back.
Bobby, come on, Bobby.
Yeah,
Gentry.
I mean, I think we had a nude photo shoot.
So shoot.
I mean,
So at a young age, the owner of the club fancied you.
He was the manager.
The manager, and invited you to perform.
Well, they just looked the other way, okay. I think.
But the drinking age back then would have been 18. So if you were 16.
Yeah, but I didn't look 18.
It wasn't really much of a stretch, no?
Yeah, but I didn't look. I didn't look.
You've always looked young, right?
Well, we hope. We try. But
it's a miracle what amazing what a pale little paint and a plastic surgeon can do, darling.
Ain't it? Even an old barn looks better with a coat of red paint. No, but there was one club called the Old Plantation, which was legendary.
Yeah.
That's where I saw people like Torchy Lane. How's that for a name? And I saw some really old school drag, like in that documentary, The Queens, the one about that pageant that Andy Warhol judged.
The Queens.
Look at her makeup. It's terrible.
She's
with Crystal
busted, LaBeige. Darling. They have dusted the beauties.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. But so this club, the Old Plantation, I would sneak in there and I saw people that are former Continentals like Tiffany Ariagas and Heather Fontaine. And so somehow the owner found out that I was not old enough to be in there, and they threw me out. And literally in the car, my friend's car, I had drag.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in drag in the car. Very cross-dressing, right? Yeah. Very, very hunters.
Yes.
And I got in drag.
Suburban gay bar for people that I don't know.
Yeah.
I always admired brunette beauties.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a black, jet black, not an easy color to wear, hair, black wig. And it was a Farrah Fawcett wig, and I put on this outfit, and I thought I looked like Linda Carter. I, in fact, did not. And, I mean, so there I am in drag. The same night I had gotten thrown out, and the owner personally kicked me out the second time. He said, not only did you sneak into my club twice, but you got uglier each time.
Oh, my God.
And then you just never know who you should be nice to, because then I ended up being Miss Continental one day.
Ah.
And you said no thanks to performing in this club?
You know, I never had the opportunity to perform there, but I ended up...
Because I burned it down.
No, I didn't. But then I ended up having Naomi Sims for a drag mother, who is legendary. And I couldn't have had a better drag mother. And so I got to be in all these shows with all these really incredible people that were way out of my league. But I was like a sponge. I tried to soak up everything I could. People, they would make suggestions and they would say, Miss Kelly, try this, or, you know, and I, you know, I was raw, and my drag mother saw something in me. She saw potential in me, and I got her attention. It's a funny story. Mm-hmm. she, I saw her win a pageant once. I think it was when she won Miss USA. Mm-hmm. And it was at a club called Riches. And when she, after she got crowned, she pulled her dress way up mm-hmm. to walk up the stairs. And I looked at her shoes, and shooting up the back of her heel and around the ankle strap were rhinestones. And I lost my shit. And so I went on this hunt. I was maybe 17. It never occurred to me I could actually find that shoe, that mm-hmm. exact shoe. I thought I would find an ankle strap and that I would glue rhinestones up the heel and around the ankle strap.
Yeah.
And then I stumble into Charles Jourdain, and there was the shoe.
Oh, the actual shoe you're trying to imitate by with arts and crafts.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I lied to my father and told him I was in beauty school. I was in Bel Air Beauty College in Bel Air, Texas, which is a suburb. And I lied to my father and told him I needed boots, and he gave me $100. So I had to scrape together $8.12, because with tax, they were $108.12. And so my first pair of real high heels was extremely expensive. And then she saw me on Halloween in the shoes, and she like immediately went home and looked in her closet to see if I had stolen her shoes. And so that's how I got her attention, and we ended up being friends and until she passed away. And I had the best drag mother in the world.
So what was that first drag show that you ever did?
The one at the Cove.
And what was that like?
I mean, it was exciting. The minute I saw drag, I knew I would do it.
Yeah.
I did Funny Girl in the living room with costume changes. And did both sides of the album, did the entire thing for my mother in the living room. So why she wanted to act like she was surprised when I told her I was gay, she just wanted to be dramatic, just because.
Who was the first person you told, who came out to?
I was so feminine that
you didn't have to come out. Yeah. Like, so it was not a discussion that was had. It was more of an open secret that was not discussed.
I wouldn't even say it was a secret. Like we used to, my mother and I used to joke. One time I went to a restaurant and mm-hmm. I was probably 14 or 15, and I had on a leisure suit, and I went to the restroom and the waiters were like, miss, you're in the wrong bathroom. And I came back and I said, I should grow a mustache. And my mother said no, because then they would just say, look, did you see the girl with the mustache going in the men's room? Because I look like a girl.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was, mm-hmm. people mistook me for a girl.
Yeah. As Lady Gaga says, you were born this way. And the rest is her story.
And some good rotted silicone.
Do you think, like, you know, for people who don't understand the trans experience, they think of it as, you know, the word trans implies a transformation?
I mean, I did.
Do you feel like there was much of change in happening? Or you're saying, like, because for some trans people, they're born fully formed, honey, and it's just a tiny bit of estrogen or a little bit of
pain. I mean, I took female hormones yeah. and did all that, and then had some of those illegal silicone injections that are not safe and not. I don't recommend to anybody. Mm-hmm. I recommend to anybody that's trans, if yeah. you want to do any kind of body modification, see a real doctor, because girls die and then down.
Right.
That, you know, it's funny, you see girls that get work done mm-hmm. and they look amazing, and you're trying to reconcile who you are in your head and make your physical body match that. And so you see girls that have had stuff done and they look fine, but then years later you can have problems.
And a lot has changed in those years, right?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, and it's like at the time I had stuff done, there weren't that many people around that had work and had it for several years, like 30 plus years or whatever. But I mean, there's the people that use things that aren't even silicone that shouldn't be used. And then there's.
And you hear the stories about people having to take out like the rolling pins and have to like re-roll the silicone and get it back into place.
Home Depot is not a place for surgical materials.
It is not.
But it has happened.
It has. Wow. It has.
And so, you know,
I mean, nightmare stories, of course.
Yeah. But I guess what I was implying in terms of like transformation is that, you know, in terms of your personality, in terms of your presence as a human being, that's been very consistent.
Yeah.
You know, and we've known you forever and enjoyed hanging out with you and watching you perform all these years. And, you know, in terms of like a stage performer, you're very consistent. You know, you're.
Thank you for the first compliment, yeah. And thank you for the second one.
I agree with you.
I concur.
But you know, in terms of like your journey as
I've tried to be consistent
entertainer, it's not been just like you walked onto the stage and all these pageants were yours and accolades and flowers and tiaras were handed to you. It was very much, you know, like Pose, a series of adventures and setbacks that got you to where you were and are today.
I'm not going to say I'm the shit or I'm all that, but yeah. I was pretty lucky because like for instance, some people have entered Continental 11 times or more before they won. And I did it 4 times. I'm not saying, you know what I mean? I'm not saying it like in a bragging mm-hmm. way. It's just, I mean, the night that I won, I walked into the Park West and I started freaking out. I'm like, this is it. This
you
knew?
Do you think they give you the crown because they kind of want to get rid of you in some ways? Like, I always feel like
maybe some other ones.
If you're sort of awarding some, you know, we have a thing that's like, I can't wait till that drag queen gets on Drag Race and we don't have to deal with her anymore.
Well,
they'll leave town.
Considering,
and then they don't.
And then they don't, yeah.
Right. Considering I only entered 4 times, I don't think they were tired of me yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, and 4 is like, you know, some people have gone in like 2 times and won, right?
People have won it the first time they entered. I think Tandy Andrews won it the first time she tried, I think.
And then people spend tens and tens of thousands of dollars every year.
Chili was the first, so she won it on her first try. Chili Pepper, who's still like kicking ass and taking names.
I know. She's an amazing person.
Do you know that? Okay.
Yeah.
Like technically, she used to always have her 35th birthday party. So technically, I'm older than Chili Pepper. And I don't know how old she really is, but I'll tell you this. I've known her over 30 years, and she still performs exactly with the same amount of energy and vivaciousness and everything as she always has. It's like, it's kind of freaky.
It's sealed.
It's amazing what she can do in a wheelchair, you know? I'm just kidding.
Chili, that was not me.
She's like, Fausto, I am coming for you. I'm coming for you.
Mary.
We ran into her once and she was going to tell us this story. And she's looking at Fausto and she's looking at me. She's like, bitch, I'm going to tell you something. And then she points at the whore, you better listen. Bitch, I'm speaking. So this is very important. Are you listening, whore? Like, and she kept calling us bitch and whore.
Yeah.
And like, it took her like 10 minutes before she even told us anything. She just wanted to make sure we were listening.
Well, to be fair, that is your pronoun, right?
Yes, right. Whore. bitch,
cunt, and whore are my pronouns.
Chosen pronouns. Yes. One of your most memorable songs is Fancy by Bobby Gentry.
Well, you just did your research and took your notes.
Your first talent night.
I won my first talent night doing it, but I did it the original one by Bobby Gentry.
I like that version better than Reba McEntire.
I like them both. But yeah. I mean, it's about a white trash. It's a white trash girl that her mother tells her to go and suck dick for. Can I say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can.
She tells her.
She says it in the song.
Well, basically, she says, "Be nice."
Just be nice to the man.
Just be nice to the gentleman, Fancy, and they'll be nice to you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was.
Yeah, but it also, you know, have you heard Orville Peck?
I have.
I love him.
Changes it a lot.
What is that? I don't know.
Orville Peck is that singer with the mask and the fringe. Mm-hmm.
He's a male singer from Canada, right?
He's a male gay country and western singer, and he's got a really unusual voice. He sounds like a cross between Roy Orbison and I don't know. He's got like some really good low.
It's real low. He's a real low singer, but he sings fancy as
but though. But he does fancy, and it's like it could be sung to a boy.
Absolutely.
Like, it could be about a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother, maybe it was a pretty boy, and the mother said, here, put on this red dress and start sucking dick.
Well, and it's a song we all can relate to, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, it was mm-hmm. It's the first thing I ever won a talent night doing.
Because when we get on that stage and perform, there is this, like, hope and dream that, like, it's tied to that performance. And in a lot of ways, that's what drives the best performances forward when there's a lot riding on it, right? It's like, you're like, I know there's going to be a fancy man or a woman in the audience and they're going to pay attention to me and all my problems will be solved because I'm going to be a big star afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure.
Here's your one chance, Kelly, don't let me down. And I always tell people, you know, a wiser way of looking at it is you're only as good as your last podcast or performance, is that you always have a chance to get back on that stage, get in front of that microphone and do something new.
Well, and drag performers love to celebrate songs about sex workers. Like, you know, she works hard for the money.
Yeah. So you better treat her right.
You know.
Well, yeah, I mean,
how about you?
I mean, I do sex work, and a lot of people are like really funny about it, but I'm not. I have no shame. My only regret is that I didn't start doing it earlier. I didn't start doing it officially until I was in my 40s.
Oh wow!
And the way that guys treat trans girls, I mean, I think probably I can only speak for myself, but I'm pretty sure a lot of trans girls have trouble dating, and since guys fetishize us and sexualize us so much, it's like, I, you know, if you keep having sex with guys thinking they're going to date you or fall in love with you, eventually you kind of realize, well, that they're not. And so why shouldn't you get something for it?
But you know, do you feel like with dating apps, with the internet and all this technology, it's kind of changed the landscape to some degree?
Nope.
Not at all.
Not a bit.
Has it made meeting men easier, right?
I don't have trouble meeting men. But the thing is, I feel like that if you like trans girls, it doesn't take you a real long time to realize that we have trouble dating. And right. I feel like that they really all really just wanted sex, but they would say anything
to get the sex.
Right. And they would say, oh, no, my family knows I like trans girls. And oh, no, I'm not ashamed to be seen in public, but.
Because the funny thing,
I don't meet them, or maybe they see my hands and then that's it.
Because I see you and I, you know, we kind of occupy similar spaces. And
you mean
I,
like we're neighbors?
Well, yeah, we live in the same neighborhood. We see the same men. And sometimes they're like, I hit on a guy on Grindr or Scruff or whatever. And they're like, I'm sorry, I'm looking for a person like Kelly, you know? And it's like, and thank you so much.
You should give them my phone number.
And I do. Yeah. I say, well, here's Kelly's.
look for Chick Dick on Grindr.
But they are. But, you know, and part of it is like, I don't think a lot of these guys are going to be wanting a financial transaction. Or do you feel like, you know, making a financial transaction
I don't use Grindr for that.
Okay. So this is for romance.
You get shut down for that. Are you trying to get through, baby?
The dog. Oh,
no, he wants your attention.
Oh, he does?
He's trying to get through, but he can't fit.
He might want it. Here. You want to go?
So we can move this whole thing over a little bit.
There you go. Yeah, he did want to go through.
He likes to travel. This Jesse the dog is here. Yeah. You know, it is hard, and we've heard this from a lot of our trans friends that, you know, it is hard to date men, and a lot of them they just want the sex and that's it. So,
but they get mad.
And you might
if some of the girls give the sex away,
yes,
then it's about the economy. And, right. And you may be experiencing this. Some of the girls who are only charging for it all the time get mad at the ones who do it for fun. Because then why pay for it when you can hang out with Kelly, you know?
You mean when I'm giving it away, not when I'm charging for it.
Exactly.
Do you know that? Have you had that experience? Because we have a friend who is trans and like all the girls got mad at her because she was, you know, basically having sex with a lot of guys and not charging the money. And they're like, why are you doing that? Charge the money.
Well, maybe they should mind their business. Yeah. That's really her business. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was a situation where it was like, you know, the way that like if you're paying your employees really well, other businesses might put pressure on you to not pay them so well because then they have to pay their employees well. And so, you know, like wage inequality, for example, where women make less than men do, is something that phenomena happens not as a way to, you know, make be sexist necessarily, but then businesses use that leverage, that sexist world we live in, to drive wages down. So it has like the opposite effect. Instead of like saying we should pay, you know, if women make 72 cents of the dollar that men do, so that why don't we just lower the money that we pay the men, and then we lower the money that we pay the women, and it becomes a race to the bottom. And so in a lot of ways, it's similar economics of that are happening when it comes to sex work, whereas like, you know, the women who do sell sex for money are sort of friends with each other and sort of like cooperate with each other and say, this guy's danger. This guy's trouble. Don't, you know,
this guy will tip you well.
I haven't noticed a whole lot of camaraderie amongst the drag community or the trans community or the trans sex worker community. It's like everybody's so like trying to get theirs. People don't do mm-hmm. other people favors. I don't feel mm-hmm. like that much. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I've had a couple of girlfriends and they would once in a blue moon refer a client mm-hmm. or, and vice versa. But it's like, I'm not.
Well, don't advertise your man. You know, as a song says.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Or you're like, I'm tired of getting good sex and getting paid for it. And he buys me jewelry. Here, you hang out with him instead.
Yeah.
That never happens.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, it took me the longest time. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of slow on the uptake. It took me the longest time to realize why guys treat trans girls so badly. And then it finally dawned on me, it's because, well, they're not going to date us. So they don't have to look like a nice guy. And it's funny because I tell these guys that I interact with, whether it's through Grindr or through the escorting and all that, that they have it so easy. All they really have to do is not be a complete dick. And they're suddenly Prince Charming. Just because, you know, it's like if a guy took me to get a hamburger, went to a movie or something like that, I'd be like, oh my God, wow. And it shouldn't be that big a deal. But too many, you know, the problem is that most of the guys that like T-girls, they don't have balls as big as we do. And that's a problem.
Are they all bottoms? Or some of them are tops?
I only know the bottoms.
And so, you know, what's a solution to that? I mean, like, what's a way to sort of put expectations or change those expectations?
Do you know
those dynamics?
I mean, as the world changes, maybe some of that. I feel like trans people are the last ones to get acceptance.
Well, certainly. I mean, think about it this way, you know, and Lady Bunny was making this point the other day. She said, right now, we have marriage equality. We have, the military's ban been lifted. And now last year we have workplace equality for LGBT folks in the workplace. But it still feels like transgender people are certainly like the last ones on that train of equality.
Acceptance for us, it's the final frontier.
It's the final frontier. And that's part of the reason why the transgender and the, you know, symbols for people of color have been inserted into the rainbow flag as a reminder that we still have work left to do as a community.
I'm glad this is a podcast and not video because you keep looking at my hands. If you were the camera guy, you'd be doing one of those hateful Caitlyn Jenner close-ups on my hands. Remember on I Am Kate, they would just now do those hand close-ups.
Are you talking about
close-ups?
Me?
No, yeah.
No, oh, I didn't notice.
I thought anytime somebody looks at my hand, I'm like, oh, he's like, oh, they really are ugly. No, they're little, but they're ugly.
Well, they're not.
What are you talking about?
I don't like.
Oh my God, you're so self-conscious.
Don't we? Doesn't everybody have something they're self-conscious about?
So you just wear gloves like a Texas woman does.
Or maybe I should just always have nails, but I'm lazy. Then I could say, man hands, pretty nails.
Because nails get food gets stuck in it.
Snacks
and it's
for later. Your ass. Snacks for later.
Nails are really annoying, though. But, you know, like I'm.
They look prettier with nails.
I'm auditioning in drag for a reality TV show. And I was like, damn it, I have to wear nails for this thing.
Or wear gloves with nails.
And I've made it to the final casting round.
Oh,
it's not Drag Race. Don't get excited. But it is like, you know, so we'll know in 3 to 6 months.
I'm sure you will keep us all posted.
I won't say it on the show. Well, we're talking about it now. But, you know, part of it is like I felt like I had to wear nails for this thing. And I was just like miserable the entire time I was doing the interview. Just because the nails get in. We were
pantyhose and tucking and all that. That's fun with nails, right?
Zippers. Well, that's why you wear caftans and, you know, you're like, I'm a pagan earth goddess because I don't want to get my nuts in a sack, you know.
Oh, tucking is the worst.
It's the worst.
Uncomfortable.
Can we do the whole tape it down and everything up the ass crack?
I only tape if I'm going to wear an outfit and there's just absolutely no other solution. I will do all kind of things to avoid.
Tucking panties are a thing. You can buy them on Amazon.
Yeah, but they make thongs. There's a company.
Thongs,
there's a company. It's called Tuck It Up, and they're on Instagram, yeah. And they make stuff specifically for that. The problem is with really thin, slinky, ho-ish, skin tight.
That's another
dresses,
issue. Yeah,
you will see the line of the thong digging into the love handle / hip area.
Yeah,
and so it's like
back rolls. Front rolls, honey.
Oh, every kind of roll.
But for some people that don't know, that like people tape like all the way from the front all the way up the ass crack.
I have done it, and I don't like it.
Yeah,
but I have done it.
I figured out ways. I mean, mine is not, the illusion is not as of, you know, dazzling, but I have managed to get tucking panties, and if you pad in the right way, the padding draws attention from your genital area to make the illusion look like you have. You know, you're
a camel toe,
nice, also, tightly snatched.
And depending on how many layers of tights you're wearing, that
mushes it.
There's spandex in there too, so that can give you a little control.
Flatness is what we're looking for, right? Yes. We don't want no lumps in this gravy.
You want a little Mons pubis, but you don't want to.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole bangers and mash down there.
You won Miss Continental 1988.
Yes.
We know that. That's the biggest pageant in the world. That's the queen of all pageants, would you say?
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that.
Yeah.
And then Miss Texas.
Of the Miss Gay, Miss Texas US of A, not to be confused with Miss Gay US of A or Miss US of A.
Right. But
all drag pageants.
But the Miss Texas I won it's the preliminary to go to Miss USA.
Why where'd they come up with these names? Like, it sounds real, you know.
I don't know. I won
US
Texas.
Of A.
Right. Well,
because there's a USA or Miss America, that also, you have to kind of differentiate yourself.
Well, and I heard,
but also get it as close as possible so you confuse people.
I also heard that there was like probably like one of the Miss Universe pageants or something that made the drag ones take out the of the word of.
Oh,
because Continental used to be Miss Continental US of A.
Well, there used to be the Gay Olympics,
I think.
And then the IOC, who organizes the I call it the Olympic Olympics, sued the Gay Olympics, so they had to call it the Gay Games.
Oh, boy.
Just like the Improv Olympics here in Chicago, they had to change it, too. I guess you can use Olympics, yeah.
But they can say Special Olympics, and you can do the Pet Olympics with dogs.
Oh.
But they can't use the...
For humans.
For humans. And I'm like, it's kind of insulting to people with accessibility needs, because it's like... Special Olympics, you know, and I'm like, that's just rotten. You know, the IOC, the whole Olympics people are just they're trash. You know, it's like, and it's like right now in Japan, I guess now they're not allowing people to go to the events. And so Japan like put all this money into the Olympics. They're not going to getting it back. And, you know, the IOC is kind of like a locust. They travel to different cities, suck all these resources, line their pockets, and then go to the next city. And they're like, all in the name of sportsmanship.
Mm.
And, you know, and in terms of pageants, you know, there are some pageants that are shady, that are run kind of like businesses to exploit people. But there are other ones that are really wholesome and actually like,
I mean,
motivate people to be their best and give back to the community.
I mean, you hear stories. I mean, I've heard stories that Continental's rigged, but I've always felt like that it was like mostly fair, you know?
Yeah, I don't know anything like which ones are the good ones and which ones are the ones
to
avoid.
Well, I talked to one queen who had been like, I don't know, probably over 10 times and is super mad they never won.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well.
You know, the thing is, it doesn't mean that you weren't good. It just means that maybe somebody was just a little bit better. And I know.
It was not the right time for you to win.
Could be. And I do know that in Continental, they look for somebody that's consistent throughout all the categories. It's maybe not somebody that is the number one in talent, but they look for somebody that's just consistently, their scores are about the same all the way across. And then question and answer, that changes everything.
This year, with the COVID pandemic, with Black Lives Matter protests, with the clubs all shutting down and now reopening, there's been a huge upheaval, big change in nightclub entertainment. Everything's been on pause. Things have been brought over to the internet. Do you like performing on Zoom? I don't.
I didn't do not one single one because I didn't want to be. If I was going to do it, I would have wanted to be filmed on the baton stage and have you be able to see my entire body, not
get
just
the
me.
Shoes, baby. Get the shoes.
Get the shoes. Not just. Yeah. Not to, who did that?
That's Dominic Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Get the shoes, baby. Get the shoes.
Get the shoes, baby. Baby, we get the shoes.
That's you what know, it is, I would. Yeah. I would have wanted it to. I didn't care for that. And then plus, it's like I like seeing videos of performances and stuff like that. But the thing about one of the things about drag that makes it so interesting is because it's really one of the only real forms of interactive entertainment other than titty dancers and dick dancers. Do you know what I mean? Because you can walk up and give us money.
Mm-hmm. It's not so unilateral. It's not like people are just on the stage and you're not interacting with them at all. But you don't want to interact too much with the performer, right?
Well,
I'm sure you've had some people that went a little too far and crossed that line.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
They're like
bridal parties.
They get on the stage. They're trying to upstage. You know, it's terrifying.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And that's not cool.
Right. Yeah. It usually turns out that for the most part, if something like that happened, the people that like would be the waiters or the bar staff or like that, they would just be oblivious. They would just be trying to hustle their next drink or something. And I don't know. I don't find a lot of not necessarily a lot of support from bar owners and bar employees. Staff as far as the entertainer's safety.
Has it been kind of a positive thing, or maybe a reset for you in not having the question of whether you have to or not perform in a club this past year? The fact that no one was performing.
So what's the question?
Like, was it, was it refreshing? Was it relaxing?
Was it a break?
Was it a break? Or were you itching to get back onto the stage?
I have missed it, and it's been probably over a year and a half. And I still haven't done one yet. And honestly, I mean, I can't imagine it's something that I would suddenly just not be good at anymore.
Mm.
I mean, because I'm the age that I am, which is 60, and I get booked in shows with people in their 20s, and I certainly don't get booked because people feel sorry for me. Mm. It's like they feel sorry for the old tranny. Let's give her a booking. There's people.
You're Miss Continental 1988.
There's people that get bookings.
Miss Texas US of A.
Yeah, there's people that get bookings because people feel sorry for them or they just won't go away. But I don't think I'm there yet.
And so are you itching to get back on stage?
Yes. I'm just kind of like.
Have you been thinking about what you're going to do?
Fancy, in your mind. Fancy reboot.
Well, because anytime I listen to a song that really energizes me, I'm like, I want to perform this.
Well, okay. So yes, I kind of am looking at it as an opportunity to come back with a splash, I guess you could say, or bigger than ever or something. I've also gained a little weight, so I guess I will be bigger than ever.
COVID, we all have.
Yeah.
COVID-19, 19 pounds.
But for over a year now, I've had a list of new songs I wanted to add. And like, for instance, I'm kind of really obsessed with Stevie Nicks. And so I've been, the only one that I do is The Edge of 17. And then that's a black, I wear an all black outfit that it looks Stevie Nicks-ish.
You know, that song is based on a brochure that Stevie Nicks read on an airplane about birds. And the brochure was like,
it's also,
just like the white winged dove sings, ooh, ooh, ooh.
You're making that up.
That's a true story.
That's true. You can watch on Twitter. She actually said she was sitting. She goes, I'm sitting here and she's filming this bird. And she's like, this is that white winged dove. And it's making that sound. She's like, I had never heard this.
It was
bird
a documentary
before.
Or a brochure.
It was. Somebody had handed her a brochure about some national park out west. And she's just like, and the white and the, like the literal, like the words that says the white winged dove makes a sound that sounds like it's singing, ooh, ooh, ooh. And so she put that into a song.
But she also wrote it, I heard, about an uncle or a relative that had died.
So that might be like the two things, but that specific line, like the tweet's still there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why every time
I
listen to it.
And you hear the bird, it sounds like, ooh.
And it sounds like a documentary film, like the white winged dove makes a sound that goes, ooh, ooh, ooh. Let's listen to that now.
Well, also too, like when she was on Ryan Murphy's like Coven, right?
Yeah.
You know, because they do a talk about like the seven wonders or whatever. Uh-huh. And he's like, well, what song are you going to perform? And then she's like, well, you know, I actually have a song about the seven wonders. He's like, oh my God, that's right. I totally forgot.
Yeah, that's a good song. No, but I've wanted to do, because the Stevie Nicks stuff, it does go over really well. And because I really like her and a lot of...
Are you a witch?
No, but I think I want to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't see a lot of people perform Stevie Nicks. And so, like, I've had a dream to
Thor do... Thor does.
Who?
Thorgy Thor.
Who's that?
She was a contestant on Drag Race and got eliminated for having to perform Stevie Nicks. Mm-hmm. And she was mad about
it. Well, I would have won that challenge.
I know you would have.
But I wanted to do more Stevie Nicks, but the problem is the boots.
You can't get the boots.
They're very specific. It's a chunky heel and a platform. And they have to, you know, it's like, anyway, I just recently, I have just purchased a burgundy pair of velvet boots that's got the right silhouette and then an amethyst pair. So I will be adding some more Stevie.
I like that you're like, I need these boots for my stage act.
Is that how the act goes? Like is it the shoes first and then you build it around?
With Stevie, the shoes are the most specific thing. And I have found the hardest to find. You can do Google searches on Stevie Nicks boots, but you don't always find... Do you know what I mean? But
well, because they were popular in a certain time period. And so now that they're sort of out of fashion,
the other stuff you could have made, you know, the
flouncy, lacy stuff,
the hippie clothes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the next one that I want to do, I want to do Gypsy because that's such a great song. And then she had gotten accused of being a witch and she kind of like fought it. And then obviously she's done full circle because she played a witch version of Stevie Nicks on American Horror Story, Coven. But so she was getting some bad press from people saying that she was a sorceress or a witch. And so she stopped wearing black for a while and she wore all this cream and pink and apricot. And so,
which makes her even look even more witchy.
She still looked like a witch. She just looked like a good witch. Yeah. But,
and the worst witches are the good ones.
Maybe. Yeah.
As we learned from, that musical with the,
Defying
gravity.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I read the book Wicked, and it was very dark. And so when I heard popular, I'm like,
I can't. I was a big fan of the book, and
I know people love
musical,
it.
I was like,
that book was so dark.
It was really good, yeah.
But it was dark. And I just couldn't see cutesy, but that's
that book really shaped a lot of the Disney franchise today because part of it is that it's looking at, you know, traditional villains in, you know, princess stories or fables and sort of trying to see that no one really is a villain and, you know, that every viewpoint can understood eventually, right? So it's meant to build empathy for others.
No, I mean, and the message, it's been so long ago. I don't remember if that same message was in the book
it was trying to make a sense of why the Wicked Witch was painted that way.
Book came out in like 1995 or something, right?
Yeah.
It's a good book.
And the book it's like part of it is that the, you know, the Wicked Witch is, you know, just like the Wizard of Oz, it was a criticism, a satire of society. And, you know, Wicked...
Well, she was abused and abandoned as a child, so... Mm-hmm.
And the world of Oz, the animals spoke.
Right.
Yeah.
And so...
She wanted to protect the animals, right?
And the wizard came and sort of was a fascist dictator, and, you know, the good witch, Glinda... She was kind of a ditz,
a propaganda piece.
And so, you know, they were faithful to a lot of those elements in Wicked the musical. It just feels like I was wanting more of that twisted, messed up, you know, like Return to Oz with Feruja Balk. I feel like, and people have been writing about it a lot lately for some reason.
They have?
Yeah.
On the blogs and stuff I've seen.
It's a very twisted tale on mental health issues for children. And they're giving her like electroshock therapy and, you know.
Oh, wow.
And she's rescued by the Princess of Oz.
Well, it takes a calamity to travel to Oz. So is that how she travels, is through the electroshock?
I think therapy? So. Yeah. Yeah.
Like Dorothy, it's like it's the hurricane, but also too, I think she gets transported to Oz during an earthquake, during a flood and some of the subsequent books. Yeah.
Yeah. And Oz is also sort of like a mirror universe of, you know, Midwest rural America.
Capitalism, fascism.
And capitalism and fascism sort of get represented as villains in these books, you know, so have a very populist twist. And Return to Oz is about, you know, feminine beauty, and the Wicked Witch has like 15 or 20 heads that she interchangeably puts on her head.
Oh, I used to do that with my Barbies.
Yeah. And so she, you know, puts on a new head. So they have different actresses.
It's easier than changing clothes. Just switch heads.
Oh, yeah.
You just pull them right off and put them on.
Yeah, sure.
And do you feel like, you know, in terms of like showgirl culture or drag culture, like it's so easy to vilify people. It's like we've, you know, certainly seen a lot of like drag entertainers go through the ringer in the past 5 or 10 years. And you know, the roles that they played in our communities was very different in the past than they are today. And it seems like because there's so much money to be made and so much at stake for somebody's career, that now it does feel like a you know, a vicious free for all to some degree now.
Yeah, I mean, and are you kind of referring to the cancel culture and all that too?
Well, I don't believe anybody can be canceled unless they want to be canceled. There is, like, when you're willing to have a conversation about harmful behavior that you're participating in, or harmful.
I mean, if you can own your behavior and apologize.
Yeah,
but. To me, especially anything that is involving racial discrimination, I feel like that the minute you even try to argue, you've lost. I think really, honestly, the only thing you can do is, number one, pray to whatever you believe in and literally apologize profusely and completely prostrate yourself. Do the stigmata and lay face down on the floor, because...
What's wrong with listening, though?
No, I mean, yeah. if you can have a conversation and try to learn from your mistakes, yes. But I'm terrified of being canceled, and you I are? Don't even and I, yes, and I don't even think I'm like an especially.
What are you
bad
afraid
person.
Of getting canceled over?
I don't think I would be canceled over being a racist. I would be more likely to be canceled for inappropriately touching a hot guy.
Oh.
Because I'm a little...
Handsy?
You're a people person.
Hey, you're a little hashtag me too?
Well, I mean, I had a sweater that kind of... I liked it, but it kind of looked like a Bill Cosby sweater. And I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't wear this anymore. Because I was like... You know, I was like... I got nervous because I like being... I like being...
You're a affectionate person. You're like Judy Garland. You have to touch people.
I think I'm a perv, is what you call it. I mean, I'm kind of, I like being promiscuous, and I have a high sex drive.
But I've never felt like you're a person who, if somebody says, you know, please don't touch me in that way, that they're going
to be... I would apologize, yes.
Yeah. I don't feel like you're imposing yourself physically on somebody, or you're not willing to listen.
Correct.
And so, I do sometimes feel like, you know, in terms of like scapegoating, if that's what we're really talking about, that trans people or queer people are unfairly targeted. And, you know, like the people who have control the purse and control the law and have the actual, you know, the power don't get scrutinized as much. And what I really liked about, you know, the Black Lives Matter protests was that they were scrutinizing the power.
Yes.
And now that I've seen, and I feel like the whole thing with, you know, Juneteenth being made a holiday is that it's really about time. Well, it's about time, but the fact that a lot of Republicans were on board makes me think, it was about, you know, sort of taking the wind out of the sails of that progressive push to hold the police, politicians, owners of businesses, you know, the people with hands on their wallet and on actual brute force, making them accountable.
Yeah. It was a symbol and not actual change.
Yeah, it's like Juneteenth. I'm like, you know.
In other words, kind of slightly patronizing.
Yeah. Totally patronizing. You know, it was a political move to basically be like, okay, we gave you Juneteenth, now will you please shut up? You know, and it's like...
But we'll see. Maybe, we'll, you know, this next generations will be inspired by that day. And now that most people know exactly what it means, that you can move forward from there.
Well, are police being held accountable? Yes and no, you know, certainly.
Well, you know, the guy being, did the guy get sentenced yet?
22.5 years, yes, for the murder of George Floyd.
Yeah. I mean, that's, to me, they kind of, I'm not saying he didn't deserve, I think he deserves worse than that, personally. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, had they not, it would have, I'm just so grateful that they did.
Yeah.
Oh, the riots and everything. Yeah.
But well, it was very clear that he murdered that.
It was extremely clear.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes my skin crawl.
We've seen so much injustice in the past that a lot of people were like actually skeptical. And when it did happen, when there was a little bit of justice, a little bit of you know, sunshine, it felt unusual. It was like, oh, wow, you know, things can get better a little bit.
Yes. But we have to like try really hard, I feel like.
And that's what I mean. It's like, you know, I'm more interested in having conversations and listening to people, especially when people disagree. Because listen, when we all agree on everything, we can love each other and celebrate each other. But when we disagree about things, that's when our real humanity shows
itself. That's a greater opportunity for growth there.
Right.
The thing, one of the problems that society, and this is around the world, has is that we are not able to peacefully disagree. It's like, I don't have to agree with you, but does that mean I have to get fucking all butthurt and want to start a fight? Just because, why can't we just disagree? It's okay.
The ego gets involved.
Exactly.
And people can't stand that.
And because there is a huge lack of respect for our fellow human beings.
Well, and also, you know, trans lives matter. We need to make space for people to be heard and to be appreciated and celebrated. We're celebrating our 3,000th episode of Feast of Fun this year. That was part of the reason why we started podcasting.
So how many years is that?
A lot of them.
2005 we started, so 16 years.
16 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And you know, that's
I'm glad we finally got me over here.
We've known you for years.
You're not gonna quit, are you?
Not anytime soon. So you've been doing drag, the art of drag, for 40 years now. What have you seen change in those 40 years?
Well, I mean, RuPaul's Drag Race changed things a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's good and there's bad about it. I feel like it's exposed drag to a huge, massively, much, much bigger audience, of course. The problem is that, and I get it, I shouldn't make several thousand dollars a booking because I was not on television. However, sometimes I feel like I struggle just to get paid what I'm worth, you know?
Because you see somebody who's on TV getting thousands of dollars, and then you're expected to share the bill with them a lot of times. They're open for them or perform on the same stage, and you're getting maybe
get
not
paid
even,
less.
Not even a 20th of it, right?
Even if I... anything I get over $100 is like, wow. And I mean, another problem is that people don't respect seniority. Like the fact that there's no real respect for people that have been around for a while doing it longer. Like the RuPaul girls, they respect the Continental girls. But I don't feel like a lot of times bar owners or maybe necessarily audience members, they don't always... You know what I mean?
Because they're not familiar with it, right? The thing is like when you see somebody on TV, they've done studies, is like you automatically trust that person just because they've been on TV. And so they trust that they're going to be able to go and see a good show. But, you know, sometimes you go see a drag show and the person that's been on RuPaul's Drag Race is just and can't hold a candle to the other people on the stage. But because they're famous and they're on TV, people accept them and love them.
And they will show up to see them.
And then we'll show up to see
them. But I'm always okay performing with RuPaul girls because I haven't worked with any that weren't extremely extremely pleasant. Plus, if a bunch of people are coming to see them, then guess what? They get to see me too. It's a win for me. And like, for instance, I adore Detox. Detox is one of the nicest people. Have y'all ever had her on?
We've never had her on the podcast. I'd love to have her on.
She's incredible.
We did have her scheduled to come, but she got sick that day.
The first time I worked with her,
we
sat right next to each other at Hydrate, and she blew me away. She said, I just want you to know that I've always, you know, admired you. And it's, I'm so excited and like happy to and honored to be working with you. And it's like,
and that's when you say, well, thank you. Give me some money.
I just want some of her old hand-me-downs.
She has
amazing.
Fashion, huh?
I'm like really jealous. I love her, and I consider.
Yeah.
I can't say we're friends, but we're really friendly acquaintances.
You're chummy.
Yeah. She would come in Sephora and everybody would freak out like, oh my God, Detox is here. And I would say, will you? And I worked at the big Sephora on Michigan Avenue. And I said, will you please just say hello to every single person that works here? And she was like, of course I will. And then people were like, you know Detox? I'm like, honey, Detox knows me. I'm like, you didn't know I was the shit?
Well, because Detox family is from Chicago. Uh-huh. And, you know, Detox came of age here watching you perform. You know?
But she's an incredible person. She's
part of the reason why again, she's right? a drag queen.
She bought a house in the suburbs. Mm.
And every time we see her, I mean, she's making coin, or at least she's, you know, her credit card is maxed because it's like,
but I mean,
I see her, she is always dressed rich. She always has a gorgeous man in every arm and she's driving a very expensive car.
I mean, have you ever seen pictures of her sitting in the front row at Fashion Week with Ezra Miller's head on her shoulder? He just loves her. Aww. And she's, you know, I got excited because I tagged Marc Jacobs in a post where I wore one of his dresses. And I had a friend that was the manager of the boutique on Oak and State.
Yeah,
sure.
And so I tagged Marc Jacobs. Incidentally, I wore the dress backwards so the girls could breathe. But I tagged him.
Points to her chest.
Points, yes. Points to the girls. And Marc Jacobs liked the post, and I got all excited. And then I'm like, oh shit! Well, he named a lipstick after Detox. I mean, I would trade places with Detox in a heartbeat. I think she's so exciting.
But is she truly happy? I mean, you know, like one thing we've learned about Britney Spears is right now, it's like you could be the most rich and successful person in the world, but your life can be secretly a nightmare.
It could be. But Detox, you know? I can tell you, does not have nobody's conservatorship or how do you say that word?
Conservatorship. Nobody has a conservatorship over her.
Nobody has a conservatorship over Detox.
Well, Willem Belli doesn't like own 51% of Detox or anything like that.
I don't think so.
Why do they those three split up? Who? Detox, Vicky Box, and Willem.
Oh, I don't know.
That's the question I always ask.
Maybe they didn't.
You always
maybe,
get different answers from
and
people.
Every time I see Willem, maybe Detox, or Vicky, I ask them, like, you guys were such a super group together. Why not have a reunion group? You know, if Varla Jean Merman and Coco Peru can get along together, anybody can.
They've been friends for decades.
And they got reunited for Girls Will Be Girls is now on a high definition. Which is not
that
unfine.
Was that movie, right?
Yeah,
that was
yeah. The
movie did they do a sequel or is it just a
they
re-release?
They filmed a sequel, but I believe that they had a lot of problems with storing the information, storing the footage. So it was difficult. I think they were still working on it. They did some kind of Kickstarter, but they weren't able to complete the project. So what they're releasing right now is a high definition version of Girls Will Be Girls.
Oh, okay.
You know, for a lot of people, especially young generations, they haven't seen that movie. And so now that it's on, I believe it's a drag classic. Yeah. And so you can rent it on, you know, wherever you rent online videos.
Was that a Charles Bush movie?
No,
it was Richard Day.
Richard Day.
Yeah.
Charles Bush was Die Mommy Die.
Yes. Yes.
Die Mommy Die.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what was it? Another one about Beach Blanket Bingo or something?
Oh, Horse of Lost Atlantis. Beach Bingo. Something like that.
It was a Frankie and Annette spoof, but with a murder, right?
Yes.
I just want Ryan Murphy to discover me and put me on something because he's super trans-friendly.
American Horror Story.
I would do anything. You know, what's the one? And she's in that not that Final Destination movie. There's a movie that's about to come out. It's a not Game Room.
Like Hostel or
it's the one where they it's like escape room. No, it's like escape room. And then the one that played the she's the beautiful transgender girl and she was trying
Angelica Ross?
Not her, but she was the one trying to date Evan Peters on the show. She's got the curly
Pose. India Moore.
Yes, but she was on on Pose.
Yeah.
She's in this major motion picture.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And it's a horror film.
Yes. And it, if you look on the trailer app, you'll find the trailer. I don't know what the name of it is. I think it's like Escape Room or something. It's like where people are put in a situation where they have to try to get out of
it. Is this a part of a franchise?
I think so.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
I was part of one of those things where they filmed.
She looks gorgeous. Yeah. But, you know, it's like if you did anything with Ryan Murphy, then you could... it certainly would open up some opportunities.
Absolutely. You know, Angelica Ross was, you know, an internet sensation on her story. And certainly
she sure was.
We met her and hung out with her at the Trans Tech Summit with T.S. Madison here in Chicago a year before she got casted in any of that stuff. And I'm a big fan of yours. And she's like, was shocked that anybody knew who she was.
She was my caseworker at the Trans Life Center, which was
get out of here.
Yeah. Which was based out of, what is it called? Chicago House. Yeah, mm-hmm. Which was a spinoff of that.
So you had Angelica Ross looking at your paperwork and said, Miss Lauren, we have to make sure that you take your vitamins.
Escape Room Tournament of Champions.
Yes.
And those escape room things are so annoying.
This one looks like it's cute, though. But anyway, there's a trans girl in a major motion picture.
That's wonderful.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Pose is off the air.
I told Angelica, yeah. I sent her a message. It was right after I had watched that last episode where she attends her own funeral. And then when she busted out of that coffin and did I Never Knew Love Like This Before, I was in tears.
Aww.
And I sent her a message and I said, please tell Ryan Murphy if he needs an old tranny hooker for anything to please look me up.
Well, Kelly, it's really great talking to you.
Okay, I know, are we going to end on a laugh?
I think so. Well, we don't have to. We can just end on a sad part. Well, I mean, you know, it's been an extraordinary year for everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just celebrated Pride. Mark and I went to Pride North and
we caught the tail end of that.
It was, you know, definitely it was muted. You know, it was, there was, you know.
I heard the day before it was very busy. We went like on Sunday.
Where was Pride North?
Up on Morrison Glenwood.
You know.
Because I heard that in Boys Town, it was like.
It was lit.
Yeah. I just hope that, I mean, you know, there's still a lot that we don't know about COVID and all mm-hmm. that. And I just hope that we don't end up with a
second version.
A Delta variant.
Or a spike in cases from all those people. Mm-hmm. Carrying on.
Well, I hope most people were vaccinated.
Yeah, but there's. I know. I went to a little birthday party at someone's house, and there was four people that tested positive, and two of them had been vaccinated. So I mean, you know, there's a lot of there's that new variable.
Variant.
The Delta variant.
The variant. That's mm-hmm. it.
That's a new drag name.
Oh, nobody ladies and named- gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Delta variant.
I mean, we'd be like, boo.
You know what's another good drag name? Racine Waterford. It's a sign. It's one of those big green.
Miss Rona.
Up in Wisconsin?
Yeah. It's
Racine Waterford.
And it's two little cities that are near. It's an exit. It's an exit on a major freeway. Waterford.
Did you ever know the drag queen here in Chicago named Elaine Place? Have you ever met Elaine Place?
No, but I know where Elaine Place is.
I know you do, right? I've
probably, back in the day, done lots of cocaine at an apartment there.
It's a little daylight. It's a little back street in the Lakeview area.
Oh, you're telling our listeners?
Well, for people that don't
in
know.
The heyday, Elaine Place was a street in the gay part of town, Boys Town, or Lakeview, or what, Nort Halsted, as they call it now, that a lot of people were looking for something extra, would hang out and
are
once
you talking
the club's
about,
closed.
Are you talking about like serious gay cruising?
Yeah.
Gay cruising and trans cruising.
Well, people lived there though too. They were all those apartments that gay people lived
in. It was a hot spot for people who are looking to get a little something extra after the club's
there's
closed.
There's several dark corners, but I'm just lucky I've never been photographed in any of them.
And they used to have these wonderful giraffes made out of chrome bumpers there.
Yes.
But they had to get rid of because I guess somebody bought the property and they didn't want to have the insurance for them or something because they were worried somebody was going to climb on them and get hurt.
Maybe it was time for something new.
Where's a good spot for a little romantic meetup in Boys Town?
Are you talking about a little alley sex or that kind of thing?
Where could somebody go and find some fun and not get caught?
I'm not sure, but you know, there's a line of fragrances.
He's asking for a friend.
For a friend, right? Mm-hmm. There's a fragrance called Whispers in the Alley. It's called Whispers in the Library. And I wanted to do a collaboration with them and do one called Blowjob in the Alley. But they weren't happy about it.
Oh, no. My
God. Yeah, no.
They're like, it's not to our taste levels, Kelly.
Do you know the... I'm going to tell a horrible story on myself. You know the bushes at at Montrose Harbor.
Yes.
I would go there occasionally, and the gay boys would scatter like flies when they would see me. And I would like, it's okay, I've got baby wipes in my purse, you know, but they were not having it. That's no. My problem. I'm a gay man trapped in a tranny's body.
Or vice versa. You know, we're all trapped in something, aren't we?
I'm trapped in an act not of my own design.
Kelly, it's going to be the society is reopening.
Yeah.
And like it or not, ready or not.
Yeah, ready or not.
And you know, there's going to be changes that we're going to get back to whatever it is that we used to have. What are you looking forward to most? You know, it's like this year is going to be very different from last year.
I'm like thrilled mm-hmm. to wear lip gloss because you can't wear lip gloss under a mask. It just smears everywhere. I'm looking forward to lip gloss. I'm looking forward. Of course, I can't wait to perform and do drag. I'm dying.
Do you have a song?
Do you have a show booked yet?
I don't.
Somebody out there book this bitch. Come on.
I mean, I could reach out to some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I turned one down because I was going to do a birthday show for a friend, and I had him come over so that we could try on some of my things, and I had fat spilling out in weird places, and I got paranoid that I didn't look good.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, but I haven't. Have I stopped eating Popeye's chicken? No.
No. How could you? Those sandwiches are wonderful. Get the with extra pickles.
Extra pickles. Mm.
Mm-hmm. I was walking down the street and I passed a Popeyes and I was like, it took a lot of willpower not to get my little something really? Extra.
I want to open a tranny bar called the Angry Pickle. Wouldn't that be cute?
What would you serve there?
Beanie weenies. I don't know.
Well, Kelly Lauren, people can follow you on social media.
It's the real Kelly Lauren. My old one
except
got
no imitations or substitutions.
Right. My old one got shut down. I probably...
The real Kelly Lauren.
A little too risque.
No, I did not post anything inappropriate, but I probably sent somebody a dick pic in a private message. Or a
DM. You're supposed to be able to do that.
You're kind of famous for that, aren't you? In on the apps, right?
Oh, okay. Hold on a second.
Am I?
They or she who's not sent a dick pic throw the first stone.
I like showing pictures of Chucky. I'm a freak. Yeah. Chucky wants to play.
Slip into my DMs. I mean, how many times I've gotten a dick pic on Instagram or Twitter?
I think that's what Facebook happened. Even. Yeah. I think that's what happened. Or somebody maybe followed me and they didn't know I was trans.
And they reported you.
Because you're
held to a higher level of scrutiny than other people.
Maybe. And but they weren't going to accept any kind of they didn't give me a warning or an apology or anything. They're like, nope, you're done.
Yeah. And we don't talk about that as cancel culture. When you get in the way of my sex life, you're canceling my.
But how many gay boys have you seen on Instagram and their entire ass is just out?
Mm-hmm.
But yet I got shut down.
No shortage of genital nudity on Instagram.
Give me some good VPL any day, though.
What's a VPL stand for?
You don't know what penis line.
Visible penis line. Yeah.
I belong to a Facebook group for that or something.
Gray sweatpants.
Oh, honey.
Yeah, that's a thing. People fetishize it.
That's what I miss about. Yeah. That's what I miss about Craigslist. Because whatever mood you were in, you could post. Like I would put sundress, no panties, and I would get some responses, honey. Because I would say I wanted to meet a guy at the Michaels or the DSW and wearing basketball shorts with no underwear. Some good free balling. Oh, my God.
There's no replacement for Craigslist that really works, is there?
No, there isn't. I just realized, though, that I've just been a complete dirty whore on your podcast.
But that's what you're known for, isn't it?
Well, I am Chicago's dirty blonde, so yeah. I mean, it's too. I've already said all this shit now. You can't take it back.
Yeah, we can edit some of it out.
Oh,
just leave out the parts where we talked about politics too long.
Kelly, you're a delight. I absolutely love you so much.
Thank you. And
hanging around with you is always so much fun. I'm looking forward to seeing you perform wherever that takes place.
Yes.
But to people who are booking Kelly, know her worth and then pay twice as much just in case you're underestimating her.
And I would like to, at this time, publicly apologize for anybody that I groped inappropriately or anyone I have ever offended in my entire fucking natural life.
You have a guilty conscience about this.
Who wants to be canceled?
Well, what is, let me put it this way. If you got canceled, then what?
Then I would.
We've been canceled about 1,000 times.
And I said, you can't cancel something that's been canceled 10,000 times already. It's, you know.
And I tell you, it's like, you know, somebody in their mind might think that they successfully held one over you. And that's more on them than it is you. And it's like, listen, my door, my phone is open to you. If you want to talk, I'm here for you.
We're here for the feedback.
You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if I've just ever offended anybody, I would apologize. And I'm just trying to catch a D. What can you say? A girl's just trying to have a little fun. I may never have a boyfriend, but I'm going to have a good time.
Listen, your mouth to goddess's ears.
That too.
Kelly, I wish you lots of happiness. This year, I want to see you perform Fancy by Bobby Gentry again.
I want to do a mix with that and Orville Peck. Why limit myself? I'll do a duet. I'll do half and half drag.
That would be cute. Oh, so you got to do like that. So when you show one side, you show a masculine side and the one a very feminine.
I could just do one side with no makeup. That would do
silhouette
it.
Silhouette screen and have Chucky pop out from behind the screen.
Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, of course, folks.
Folks, I would remind you, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to the show is what makes the show happen. We wouldn't be able to have fabulous people like Kelly Lauren if it weren't for you and all the support that you've given us over these past 16 years.
16 years, honey. 3,000 podcasts, thousands of in-depth conversations with trans legends, drag entertainers, some of them who are no longer here, but their presence is definitely felt and deeply missed. And they live on in a lot of those podcasts. You know, it's an archive of Chicago and our collective history as LGBTQ people. These in-depth interviews, I'm just thrilled that we managed to do a lot of them. And to me, it's like, it's a testimony to the goodness. You know, we talk about so much of the, like the quarrel, the negative, the sadness, the attacks, the canceling, the all this stuff, how we fail each other. But there's a reason why we have a rainbow as a symbol, because deep inside a lot of LGBT people in our community, there's a lot of good in it. And you know, I think a lot of these interviews, you listen to them, the goodness shines through.
For sure.
And deep inside a lot of gay men is Judy Garland trying to come out.
and poop.
And poop, yeah.
Deep in the hearts of people is lots of love. And we glad that you took time to share that with us and tell your story. And Fancy, you didn't let us down.
Oh, aww. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Now be nice to the man, Kelly. He'll be nice to you.